ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are studying some of the very important parts in this third Brahmana, third section. So first, I would like to take up some of the important, very important mantras and then summarize what we discussed so far. So in the 17th mantra, first section, the second chapter, first section, 17th mantra. Saha vacha ajata shatruhu yatra yeshaha etat suktaha abhut yaha yeshaha vijnanamaya purushaha tada yesham prananam vijnanena vijnanam adaya yaha eshaha antarhradaye akashaha tasmin shete. So Ajatashatru, as we should remember, had taken his newly acquired disciple Gargya or Balaki to a sleeping person, woke him up after violently shaking him, and he was describing that state. This Purusha, that is the Jivatma, and Jivatma consists of how many things? We have to say three things. Chit, pure consciousness. Chidabhasa, the reflection of this pure consciousness in the mind of the individual. And so body, mind, we can join them together. So pure consciousness reflected in the body, mind complex. So pure consciousness, reflection of pure consciousness plus body mind is called the individual soul, Jivatma. And every Jivatma goes through three states of experience until he has knowledge, self-knowledge, and becomes free, attains liberation. Not attains, but knows that I was never bound. So this person in the waking state, the emphasis is on the body, and so the body's emphasis is on the external world. But in the state of the dream, the external world, the whole physical body, is, as it were, separated from himself. He deals only with the impressions he gains through his movements, interactions in the waking state. And taking those impressions, he creates his own world. That is beautifully described later on, but in the deep sleep state, sushupti. So this pure consciousness means pure consciousness combined with this reflected consciousness rises above all connections with the waking state, means body and external world and the mind. What does he do? In the deep sleep state, so he takes everything as it were, all the functions of the organs as it were, converts them into pure reflected consciousnesses, and then where does he rest? There is supposed to be a place in the heart. It is called Hridayakasha, Dharakasha, and he rests there as long as that state of deep sleep continues. But because of karma phala, when the time comes, that karma phala acts as the cause. That is why sushupti is called karana sharira. So again, it forcibly draws him from the hridayakasha and then separates him from paramatma as it were. That is the state Ajatashatru was describing. Where was the sleeping person? Because it took such a long time to wake him up, he was deeply resting. in the Hridayakasha along with Chit. Remember, Chidakasha, Chidabhasa has not disappeared, but it is nearest to the pure Chit, its real nature, as if there is only the shining sun and there is only the pure mirror. There is nobody there to witness, to use that reflected light, to experience what is in the room. It is just like that. But as if somebody had entered later on, oh, brilliant light. Now I can see everything so clearly. I can read so crystal clearly. So tanyata grinnati athaha etat purushaha svapiti nama. So when this person is in deep sleep, the jivatma gets a special name. Svapiti, his name is called Svapiti, means he is lying in the lap of Paramatma. Tad grihita eva pranaha bhavati, grihita vak, grihitam chakshuhu, grihitam shrutram, grihitam manaha. When the jivatma is in sushupti, all the sense organs are withdrawn. And when sense organs are withdrawn, their functions are also withdrawn. So that is being described here in this state of Svapiti. The organ of smell is absorbed, the organ of speech is absorbed, the eye is absorbed, the ear is absorbed, and the mind is absorbed. In other words, both the mind and body, they attain to their causal state and not able to function. Now, slowly after some time, because of the karma phala, remember, always works. 2 points we have to remember here. Prana, whatever be the state, waking, dream, dreamless, prana will never depart. Otherwise, that person, jivatma will be a dead person. So, prana will be there. But these three states experienced by the help of the prana, the body and mind are withdrawn. Sense organs and corresponding thoughts are totally withdrawn. So, after some time, this causal body, causal means cause, wakes up and pulls the jivatma forcibly from the resting place in the Paramatma, brings it first to the state of dream, svapnavastha. How does it do it? That is described in the 19th mantra, athayada sushupto bhavati, yada na kasya chana veda, hitaha nama nadyaha, va saptatihi sahasrani, hridayat puritam, avipratishtante, tavihi prati avasprupya, puritati shete. Briefly, what Ajatashatru is trying, or this Upanishad is trying, to convey that knowledge to us through the medium here of Ajatashatru, when the karma phala forcibly forces back the jivatma, how does it enter? It seems there are very subtle, what is called nadis are there. Nerves are there, naru centers. This naru center, we cannot find through any amount of microscope or telescope. They are subtle. Subtle means not experienceable by the physical body, physical senses. Even microscope, telescope, they cannot do anything unless sense organs are functioning. Only when the eye is perfectly functioning, telescope will work, microscope will work. If you put both these in front of a blind man, it is not going to work. So, when this person wakes up, then what happens? Slowly, because of this, vasanas, karma phala, that is the impressions, the urge, you will have to exhaust this resultant of your own actions. So, how did he enter into that akasha, chidakasha, or hridayakasha, or dharakasha? Through these very nerves. And how does he come back? Through the very nerves. So, if you go somewhere, if you have climbed to the higher stories in your own building, you will again come back. So, there are various staircases are there, as it were. They are called very, very subtle nerves. How many are there? The scripture is telling 72,000 are there. And among them, there is one which is called Puritati, which is the most important Naru, and every other Naru is only emanating from there, and they are all well established in the heart. Heart is the place where we feel our identity. So what happens when the self goes into deep sleep, when it doesn't know anything, and how did it go into that deep sleep? Through those very Narus. Now what is happening? Because the karma phala wakes the person up. It returns along the 72,000 Narus called Hita. They're all called Hita. Hita in Sanskrit language means that which does good for anybody, which extend from the heart throughout the whole body. And these Narus, though they are emanating from the heart, they are spread throughout the body until even the tips of the hair, so that even if some smallest insect touches the tip of our hair, immediately that sensation, oh, something is touching me, we can find out. Not to speak of the skin, where we feel it much more intensely, any touch. So these nerves are spread all over, and then it brings back into the dream state. What happens? Sayatha kumarahava, maharajahava, mahabrahmanahava, atignim anandasya gatva, shayita evam eva yeshaha etat svete atignim. As a baby or an emperor, a noble Brahmin, when they enter into the deep sleep state, they experience incomparable, the supreme most happiness, because for the time being, duality is absent there. Mind and body causes duality. Mind and body are absent in the deep sleep. So, having experienced that highest bliss, and for that, three examples are given. Kumaraha, a baby, without the least bit of worries, in the state of babyhood, no baby will ever think about what happened in the past, what is going to happen in the future, where am I going to eat, who is going to take care of me, etc. He knows somebody else is going to take care of me. He doesn't even think like that. We only attribute that thinking to the baby. But the baby, absolutely, he knows someone is looking. And if somebody by chance is temporarily absent, a baby starts howling, crying. Immediately, father, mother, brother, sister, somebody comes running and takes care of the baby, and the baby becomes again peaceful once more. So, a baby doesn't have judgmental values. This is good person, that is good person, this is good food, this is tasty food, that is not at all tasty. All these thoughts are totally absent until his sleeping samskaras wake up, when his body grows up sufficiently. But until that time, a baby is a marvelous example. That is why Jivanmukta is compared to a baby, just like a baby, without a second thought. He wants to sleep, he will sleep. He wants to meditate, he will meditate. He wants to study, he will study. He wants to talk, he will talk. There is a special Buddhistic school of philosophy called Zen Buddhism, Dhyana Buddhism. The main teaching is a Zen practitioner, Dhyana practitioner, whatever he does it, he is aware of only that. If you are reading the messages you are getting through my WhatsApp application, you will see when a person is walking, is aware, I am walking. When he is sitting, is aware, I am sitting, etc., etc., etc. So this is how slowly, slowly this person becomes only absorbed in that, like a baby. Notice a baby. When he is playing, 100% his mind is absorbed in that. And naturally, he will get the greatest pleasure. What is the value of his plaything? That's not important. Whether It is a few stones, few sticks or marbles, or it is some play machine. It doesn't really matter. What matters is absorption. It doesn't matter what a baby eats, but he is completely absorbed in it. So also a Maharaja who has no known enemies and everything is going on very well. How does he sleep? He is not worried. By God's grace, everything is going on well. Or a Mahabrahmana is a realized soul. They're all same. Atignim Anandasya Gatva. So they experience that incomparable supreme bliss. That is the bliss of Brahmananda only, not less. Shayita evam eva eshaha etat seti. Having experienced that one, he comes back into the next stage of experience, which is called dream. And what happens? He returns back through 72,000 nerves. But then he creates a tremendous creation, his own creation. For that, an example is given. Saha yatha urnanabhihi tantuna ucharet yatha agnehe kshudraha vispalingaha vicharanti evam eva asmat atmanaha sarve pranaha sarve lokaha sarve devaha sarvani bhutani vicharanti. As a spider moves along the thread, it produces from its own body. Or second example is given, as from a blazing fire, millions of tiny sparks fly in every direction. Even so, from this Atman come forth all organs, all worlds, all gods, all beings. What is the point of this particular mantra? That just as in our dream, spontaneously, we create our dream world and we ourselves find ourselves in our dream world. We find our neighbors, our friends, our enemies, our kingdom, our country, our religion, just like in the waking state. How did this person create? Just by the process of thought. Who created? The person who is returning, but who is actually the waking person. One person creates the entire dream world. If a human being can create the world, and what is the speciality? When this person has created this world, he doesn't say, this is only a dream, this is unreal, I have created it myself. First point is, it is not unreal, it is absolutely real, exactly like the waking state. Second point, as we are not aware that this whole waking world is created by us, exactly in the same way, the whole dream world is created by that individual soul. It is not surprising to think that when we give the example of a dream, that upon waking up, instantaneously we realize that I created my own world, where I created my own happiness and unhappiness, my own friends and enemies. Somebody came and presented me an invaluable jewel. Somebody else came and snatched it away, or in the process, he even hurt me. But upon waking up, we laugh, say, how realistic it looked. But I alone, that is important, I alone am responsible. A husband cannot say, my wife is responsible for this dream. So every human being can understand. But what about waking state? Is it created by us? Yes. One of the understandings of Karma Siddhanta is our parents, our family, our financial circumstances, our climate, where we are born, into which family, which colored parents, black skinned, yellow skinned, white skinned, brown skinned, black skinned, any skin, and how our physical body looks, and our fate, whether we are poor, we are rich, we can get higher education or not, whether we are fated to go to higher universities, either in India or elsewhere. In fact, the whole universe is created for two purposes. For exhausting whatever we had earned through our past lives, to experience the resultant of our own past actions first. Secondly, at the same time, we are given an opportunity to create a new karma. Should we wish, we can create new karma. It might take some bit of effort depending upon the strength of our samskaras, but we have to understand we are creating, but albeit most of the time unconsciously. If we can create deliberately, consciously, that's what Sri Ramakrishna's advice is, that cultivate holy company deliberately. Go to solitary places and understand nothing in this world can help you, or continuously accepting the reality of the world, that everything is changing, that is the reality of the world. And since everything is changing, nothing can be relied upon. So do not unnecessarily intensify attachments. So live like a maid servant. All these things are possible, and all these things are done first to exhaust, to get the right opportunity, appropriate opportunity. Second, whatever best we can do, there is enormous scope, and that is what we need to do, just as we do create our own dreams. Dreams are not forced upon us by somebody. Every single experience we had in the dream was created by us. In fact, dreams can be created according to design. There are many people who could do that, and we can also do that. Just as we created this waking state, we can also create. Nagamahashaya, his mind was totally pitched to the highest loka. That is why when his aunt used to tell him in his childhood bedtime stories of gods and goddesses and stories in the mythology, Hindu mythologies that we get, next morning he used to get up, run to his aunt and say, "Aunt, today I dreamt whatever you told me yesterday I have seen. Mother Chandramani, how many gods and goddesses she had visualized, even though she said, I never knew the existence of it, but she had strong faith, one of the greatest devotees. So she had faith that gods and goddesses do exist. If God exists, then goddesses, gods also exist. Higher worlds exist. Nothing is impossible. So because of that, she used to have strange visions. And we should not say, our modern science is likely to say, they're all her imaginations. But my point is, whether something is an imagination or something is a reality, it makes no difference. If we imagine something as real, that affects us. If somebody is embracing a black bear thinking, I am embracing Miss Universe, it doesn't matter. So long as he thinks, I am in the embrace of a most beautiful woman in this world, he is a happy person. But when the moment that imagination breaks, another imagination comes. This is a black bear about to crush me to death. That is also in the same pattern it works. So that's why it is said today's imagination will be tomorrow's fact. In fact, the meditation is nothing but pure imagination, of course guided by the guru and the scriptures. So the person coming down from the state of the highest bliss experienceable in the dualistic world, from the state of deep sleep, he comes through the very roads, as it were, through the 72,000. Don't question whether they are 72,000 or 7,000. It doesn't matter. So if a person is coming down from the deep sleep to the dream state, he must be coming. There must be a pathway. And that pathway is called Innarus. So having come to this dream state, he roams about. What does he do? He creates. Just like a spider creates its own net. to catch food in the form of insects are just like there is a blazing fire and there are hundreds and thousands of sparks are flying all over. The point is, all these sparks have exactly the same nature. They are hot to the touch, and if a spark falls upon my body, I feel the stinging. Similarly, they also give light, because the moment you see a spark, you see it even in the pitch darkness. And if the spark is a little big enough, if there is any object nearby, it illumines it. So, self-illuminating and other illuminating, that is the characteristic of fire. So, the whole universe has come out of the supreme reality called Brahman, just as this dream example is given to make us understand through this example, just as we create. And then, one important point we have to understand here, even when we go through this dream state, nothing happens to us. Similarly, when Paramatma creates, and this entire, how many lokas, billions and billions of galaxies, every galaxy is a special loka. Nothing happens to Paramatma. That is the second point. Third point we have to understand, that since this whole creation is coming, just as from us, every day we have a different dream. On the same night, we can have different dreams. In the same dream, we can have another subset of dreams also. In dream itself, we go to bed and we can have another dream. How many times of dreams we can have? So, one moment we find here in Bangalore, next moment in Varanasi, next moment in New York. Every situation is different. So, how many dreams? Every dream, special dream, is a loka. Loka means special experience. So, Paramatma, he creates the whole universe. And the point we have to understand is, whatever is created partakes of the same nature as the original substance. A pot, a mud pot, clay pot, its whole nature is nothing but clay. A golden ornament will be pure gold only. Similarly, what is the nature of Brahman? Pure consciousness. So, even when you think, I see this, there is a big rock. Is this consciousness? Yes, of course it is consciousness. And many times I have tried, and many times I will tell you also. What is the point? We do not know what is in the external world. We only know our thoughts. So, if I have the thought of a tree, I am imagining, just like a person sitting in front of a TV in his drawing room or visitor's room, and he is experiencing a beautiful match, and he is feeling as if it is going on here. Nowadays, the broadcasters broadcast, so some agitation is going on somewhere, and you can see it in front of you, and you there is no difference. Because whether you are even present where that cricket match is being played, that event is taking place, your eyes, your ears, go out and gather the impressions and bring them to the present to the mind in the form of thoughts. And we alone know the mind is a vast screen. On that screen, these thoughts are projected and the film is the mind. But the light is called reflected consciousness, and this reflected consciousness enlarges and makes all the impressions come to life. As it were, I am seeing it. So, I am giving the essence. It doesn't matter whether you experience something through a phone, through a TV screen, or actually you are sitting somewhere, you are not directly experiencing sitting in front of a cricket match, you are not indirectly experiencing only in front of a TV screen. Both are indirect only. Nothing is direct. You only know about your thoughts. And every thought represents the entire external, every object, any object, in the entire external world. Even this thought, this is external, is also a thought only. This is internal, that is also a thought only. Mind-boggling. But that is the truth. Even psychologists can tell you that, not to speak of spiritual people. So through these two examples, Paramatma's creation is described. So it is not impossible. He himself is the material cause. He himself is the intelligent cause. He is everything. For that, these two examples are given. And these two examples are not only we find in Brihadaranyaka, in Mundaka Upanishad also, the same examples are given. In some other Upanishads also, they repeat the same things. The next point we have seen, this entire creation is nothing but pure consciousness. But that pure consciousness, looked at through the prism of time, space and causation, appears to be infinite number of objects. So time, space and causation limits. And this limited experience of pure consciousness in the form of this entire creation is subdivided by this Upanishad, that which can be experienced by the eyes, etc., that is called Murta, and that which is experienced but not seen through the eyes, that is called Amurta, visible and invisible. So both belong to the creation only. And then the Upanishad, as we discussed earlier, had made a categorical statement that just as Brahman is Satyam, this world is also Satyam only. But then why do they say it is Mithya? So long as we are not aware of the true nature of the cause, which is Brahman, we experience separatedness. I am a tiny object in comparison with the other objects. Suppose, imagine, there is a small ant. A big rock falls upon that ant. The ant, at least we know, the ant is small, therefore it cannot withstand this big rock, but that is its nature. This is because of the ignorance. But once we understand consciousness, there is no division, small and big, white and black, small and great and small, subtle and all-pervading. This is all mind's attempt to make an understanding of that pure consciousness. So the Upanishad wants to tell, as Sri Ramakrishna says, once a person reaches the roof, understands what is the roof made up of, he understands what is the whole house is made up of. The same material of which the roof is made, the whole house is made. Once a person realizes Brahman, which is Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, then the realized soul understands everything is, but it is nothing but limited. It is only Brahman. But if we do not have that knowledge, that is called we are ignorant. We are under the influence of ignorance. Ignorance means limited by time, space and causation. We think everything is separate from everything else. Very small, Anu, very big, huge, etc. And that will create lot of problems and repeated births again and again. And that's why once a person realizes the nature of true cause, then the effects are also realized to be of the same nature. So such a person, after the realization, enjoys this whole universe. So that is what is said here. Now we will summarize whatever is there. So in order to understand, Brahman is the roof, the real cause of which the entire creation, Srishti, had come out. Brahman is pure consciousness. Therefore, whatever comes out of Brahman, manifestation of Brahman, must be pure consciousness only, like the sparks of a fire, etc. So for that, we cannot understand because we are overpowered by Maya, Ajnana, Avidya, which is described as looking at Brahman, looking at ourselves through the prism of time, space and causation. So this satyam means, this is called vyabharika satyam. This is true so long as I am experiencing it, but this is not the final truth. So for that purpose, you have to practice certain spiritual disciplines and go to the roof, which is to realize Aham Brahmasmi, and then only we will be able to understand there is nothing but Brahman. So, for that purpose, what is it? Neti neti. So, as we discussed earlier, in the Taittiriya especially, not this. That is to say, am I the Annamaya Kosha? No. It doesn't mean Annamaya Kosha is different from me. As I mentioned in my last classes, not only I am Annamaya, I am also much more. So, once I realize in what way I am much more, so you progress. I am Pranamaya. Pranamaya doesn't negate Annamaya. Pranamaya includes Annamaya. Manomaya includes Pranamaya. Vijnanamaya includes Manomaya. That means it includes other. And Anandamaya includes the previous four grosser manifestations. And then we also realize this is also a work of the mind. That's why it is called Anandamaya Kosha. Ananda, pure bliss. Another name for Brahman is Anandam. Satyam, Jnanam. Anantam means unbroken bliss. So for that purpose, here in the Brihadaranyaka, famous teaching, Neti Neti, Naiti Naiti. Did I reach the goal? No. So Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. There was a girl who was married, and after marriage her husband went away, and very few people could attend the marriage, perhaps. So once her husband came to her house, and all the girlfriends of this girl who was, the wife who was married, they gathered around her, and the bridegroom came with many of his friends. Maybe it was a special occasion, and he was sitting there outside, chit-chatting with others, and then the girls did not know who was, because at the time of marriage, the groom will be decorated in a special manner. Everybody can recognize. But after that, the dress is no more necessary. So he is sitting like anybody. So one girl asks, is that your husband? The girl smiles and says, no. Another girl points to somebody, no, no, no. Neti, neti, not this, not this, not this, not this. Finally, only one man is left out. And some girl says, is he your husband? She need not have asked because there is nobody else left out. But she asked. The girl doesn't say anything. She keeps her head low, but a beautiful smile adorns her face, showing how happy she is. So everybody understands that is her husband. So after negating everything, whatever remains, that is the truth. But then I have to tell you, as I told you also, Sri Ramakrishna's own example, the big thorn, with the help of which all the other smaller thorns were completely thrown out. That also has to be thrown. That means that mind, which is going through this Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, being instructed by the Guru, even that also will be thrown out. But he will not throw it out automatically with the last thorn. This discriminating mind itself will get thrown out. What remains? That he doesn't say, I am seeing pure consciousness. He says, I am pure consciousness. This is the process of neti neti. So from these three important points, if we remember, then we have understood the essence of this, what we discussed so far. First, the jagat mithyatva. Mithya is mistaking half-truth for absolute truth. By dismissing this observable and objectifiable universe, drishya prapancha, neti neti, proves that the universe is only a partial truth, not complete truth. That's why it is called mithya. It is not called non-existence. It is called partial existence. Second, the ultimate reality of Brahman is Brahman alone. Is the cause alone. the Creator alone is the real truth. Everything else is partial truth. Everything else is Satyam, but not Satyasya Satyam. For that we have to apply that process of Neti Neti through the process of Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, etc. In the Bhakti path also, devotional path also, exactly same thing is repeated. How? You see, when a person is meditating upon God, then he says, first, every devotee is most wonderful person. So, I am in every devotee. I see every devotee. And every devotee, there is no difference between me and any devotee. That is how Sri Ramakrishna says, there is no caste difference among devotees. Slowly, then it expands. Everything happens by the will of God. So, whatever happens by the will of God is for my good, not only for my good, for the good of the entire universe. A very profound truth we have to keep in mind. If some country is throwing bombs upon another country, our viewpoint, ignorant viewpoint is, this is bad. But we can, from the Hindu viewpoint, we can expand it a little bit, but I will do it very briefly. First of all, nobody either suffers or enjoys excepting the resultant of their own past karma. And then it can be happiness, it can be unhappiness. Nobody can cause either happiness or unhappiness to anybody. Our own karma phala, but comes through the medium of other people. That is the first thing. Second, that is not the only thing. So who is making this happen? There is somebody called Vidhata. That is God who keeps an eye what a person has done. Such a God says, it is better for you to be born here because that is the best chance for you, as we discussed today itself. Not only to exhaust your prarabdha karma, but to create better karma. So, whether we are happy or unhappy, a tremendous opportunity is given, not only every birth, but every morning. As soon as we wake up, God gives us 24 hours until next day. So, we will have to do certain things. We do not know what to do. Further, the scriptures are there, but the scriptures are difficult to understand. So there is a teacher, and the teacher is an experienced person, and he understands the students, and he tells us. But the point is, whatever happens in our life, it's for good. So that is a point we have to understand. Nobody is making another happy or suffer, first point. And if we are undergoing suffering, it's natural for us to feel sympathy. And that's a very excellent spiritual quality that shows we have to share what we have so that in future, whatever we share will come back to us. That is what we discussed in the Taittiriya Upanishad. The only best way of saving food is to share it with others. Whatever food we share it with others will be shared, comes back to us through the other people. That is the point. And anybody who refuses to accept this view is not a spiritual person because he is questioning God. This is the third point. If anybody claims, I am a strong believer in God, and then still says, why is there so much evil in this world? Then he is the most foolish, arrogant person in the whole world. You don't claim you have any faith in God. If God is the creator, he is all good, Sarvamangala. And what God does, only He knows. And whatever He does is for the good of every one of us. No doubt about it. That is why it is called Leela, pretend. So, Brahma Satyatvam, and in course of time, Jagat Satyatvam, there is no such a division called Brahman and the world. And then what is the third truth? Identity of the self and Brahma. Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha is an expansion of Shankara's condensation of his entire teaching. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya, Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. That middle one is the problematic one. This world is an illusion. And the idea we have about illusion is not a good idea. That is why it is a very horrible idea. Illusion means untrue. But Upanishad says it is not an illusion. It is a half understood truth. So true, it is a truth. A snake is a half understood snake. So that is how we have to understand it. Everything, not only jiva means what? Every being, including a mosquito, not only a living being, even the non-living, it all falls under the category of sat. Only chit and ananda are not manifest here. So why is deep sleep discussed? Ultimately, deep sleep is the best example to demonstrate that our waking individuality is merely an incidental, transactional state. Similarly, the dream state also, by showing that we naturally revert to a state of formless, boundaryless awareness every night, deep sleep reveals that our permanent identity is nothing but Brahman. Even from a practical point of view, it is this. Even if you are enjoying something very pleasant, intense happiness you are getting, it doesn't last much longer. But look at the wonder of this deep sleep. For nearly several hours, without the least bit of break, we enjoy the highest bliss. If that is not an exemplar, I do not know what else is. So, what is this neti neti methodology? I am not the waker, I am not the dreamer, nor am I the sleeper, I am the one who is the experiencer of all these. Hence, I am the seer, not the seen. This is the essence of the third Brahmanam. With this third Brahmanam section is over. Now we are going to enter into one of the most marvelous sections, that is called the dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi. We will start it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.